For our scripture reading this morning, we turn in God's infallibly inspired word to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle's. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Text for our sermon this morning is verses 11 and 12. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this past week was a week of careful self-examination for us. With intense scrutiny, we've examined every aspect of our lives, our actions, our words, our thoughts. We've submitted to God's examination of us by his word. What's the fruit of that? The result of that is that we've come to see again our sinfulness. How great, how many, how shameful are the sins that we commit against our God. And we may come to God's house this morning with a sense of the burden of the guilt and the shame of those sins. And what we need is to know our forgiveness of those sins. We need to know that those sins have been blotted out from before the sight of our God and are remembered no more. God declares that to us this morning here in Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is a call to praise God for all of his many saving benefits which he's bestowed upon us in his grace. And the chief of those benefits of salvation is the forgiveness of our sins. Psalm 103 is beautiful in its description of what God has done for us in forgiving us. He pities us as a father pities his children. He's removed those sins far from us as far as the east is from the west. His mercy towards us is higher than the heavens or above the earth. The Word of God exhausts the human language in describing how wonderful and great is God's grace to us. It's no surprise then that when our Reformed fathers came to write our Lord's Supper form, they quoted at length from Psalm 103, including these verses. The Word of God in the preaching declares to us this wonderful truth. Our sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. That's a fitting word to prepare us to partake of the sacrament, for what's declared in the preaching is sealed and confirmed to us this morning in our partaking of the Lord's Supper. Your sins are forgiven. We consider this text this morning under the theme, the dimensions of forgiveness. First of all, consider the great blessing. Secondly, great mercy, and then thirdly, great praise. The great blessing that's in view in our text is the blessing of the forgiveness of our sins. That stands out here in Psalm 103. Psalm 103 begins with the call to praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then as the Holy Spirit lists what those benefits are, the very first one that's mentioned, verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And then later, throughout the psalm, that same blessing is mentioned. Even though the word forgiveness isn't used, the idea of forgiveness is used. Verse 10, for example, right before the words of our text, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. God's not dealing with us and rewarding us as we deserve for our sins is the truth of his forgiveness of us. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is God's declaration to his child that the guilt of sin is removed and we're released from punishment. Forgiveness has to do with the guilt of sin. As our text indicates, we are transgressors who daily transgress God's commandments, who step beyond the bounds that God has set for us in our lives. And transgressing God's commandments brings guilt. Guilt refers to our legal standing that we have disobeyed God and we're deserving of his punishment. God's forgiveness of us is his declaration to us that our legal standing before him is one of being not guilty. It's his declaration to us in our conscience that we're released from the obligation to pay for our sins so that we do not stand deserving of punishment. The Bible describes God's forgiveness of us in various passages as his not remembering our sins. God, of course, is the all-knowing God who knows all of the sins that we've committed. God's not remembering our sins conveys his forgiveness of us. It means that God does not view us in the light of those sins. He does not deal with us on the basis of those sins as we deserve. He does not enter into judgment with us for those sins. They've been blotted out, the guilt of them taken away and removed. We're released from the obligation of punishment for our sins. When we think of forgiveness, we think immediately of that, the removal of guilt and the obligation of punishment, but there's implied also a positive element to that. God's removing the guilt of our sins, declaring to us that we do not stand deserving of punishment, implies that positively he imputes to us righteousness. He does not reckon, record, and count to our record our sins and the guilt of them, but he imputes to us, he reckons, he records as if it is our own perfect righteousness. He declares to us that he views us and he deals with us not as we deserve on account of our sins, but he views us and deals with us as if we've perfectly kept his commandments. Rather than cursing, he blesses. This is the heart of our salvation and the heart of the gospel, that our sins are forgiven. And the Word of God here practically exhausts the human language in describing the wonder of this great blessing of salvation. In other passages in the Word of God, different illustrations are used to describe the great blessing of forgiveness. Isaiah 38, verse 17, for example, "For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Forgiveness is God's casting of our sins behind his back. Isaiah 43, verse 25, God says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins." There's that idea that we mentioned just a moment ago. God's forgiveness of us is his declaration that he does not remember our sins. And Micah 7, verse 19, "And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." God's forgiveness of us is his casting our sins behind his back, blotting them out, not remembering them, burying them in the deepest depths of the sea. But here in our text, the Word of God uses a different illustration to describe the wonder of forgiveness. Verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Literally, he's removed our transgressions as far as the sun rising is from the sun setting. Draw a line in your mind toward the sun rising, and not a line that's going to wrap around the earth, but a line that goes on and on in the direction that the sun rises. And then in your mind, draw a line that goes on and on toward the sun setting. And those two points will never touch each other. The distance between them is immeasurable. If you and I would go on and on toward the sun rising in that direction, God's forgiveness of us is his declaration that he removes the guilt of our sins on and on to where the sun sets. God's forgiveness of us is his removing of the guilt of our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. How great is God's forgiveness of us? What a grace that he shows to us undeserving sinners. He does not forgive us because we deserve that or because we've done something to merit that with him. We are undeserving sinners. And to us who do not deserve that, God removes our transgressions far from us, as far as the east is from the west. The blessing is, like all the blessings of salvation, particular. That is, a blessing that he bestows only upon his elect. That's conveyed in verse 11 when it says at the end, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Those who fear God are his elect. That fear of God is not the dread, terror, and trembling before God, but it's the fear of awe and reverence and love and worship of God. And that's true only of God's elect. God does not bestow forgiveness upon all men. It's not an offer that he makes to all, hoping that they'll receive that offer by an act of their free will. It's a blessing God bestows only upon his elect. For the unbeliever, there is no comfort of forgiveness. What must be noted here as well is that our fear of God is not a condition or a prerequisite to our being forgiven, so that first we must meet this condition of fearing God and then we're forgiven. The text is not teaching that. The text is simply describing what's true of us as children of God. We fear God. We stand in awe and reverence of him. That awe and reverence of God is the fruit and the effect of our being forgiven. Knowing that God has removed our sins far from us as far as the east is from the west, our response is fear, awe, reverence, love, and worship. The God of grace. Notice in the psalm, the Holy Spirit uses personal language, uses the word me and the word us. And what that indicates is that the child of God is assured of this blessing. It's not that God off in his divine courtroom declares us to be forgiven, but you and I as children of God have no knowledge of that and we're left perpetually to doubt whether we truly are forgiven. The very nature of forgiveness is such that the child of God knows that and is assured of that. The assurance of being forgiven is forgiveness. God declares that we're forgiven in the forum of our conscience, so that we know and are assured that our sins are removed far from us. That's not something we hear by some mystical voice inside of our head. God declares that to us in the gospel chiefly. God declares that to us, his children, this morning. You are forgiven. All of your great and many and shameful sins that you've committed against me, I've removed far from you as far as the east is from the west, and I remember them no more. What God declares to us now in the gospel is sealed and confirmed to us in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, as a secondary means of grace, strengthens us in the assurance and seals and confirms to us that we truly are forgiven, that our sins are removed so far from us as the east is from the west. What explains that great, wonderful blessing? The explanation for that, again, is not that we are so deserving of that. We've done something to make ourselves stand apart from others. We've done something to merit that with God. The explanation for our being forgiven is mercy, undeserved mercy. What is mercy? The idea of mercy presupposes a love of one person for another and a desire to seek the well-being of that other. It also presupposes that the object of our love is sunk down into some miserable condition. And mercy is pity, it's compassion upon the object of our love as they're sunk down in that misery with a will and desire to help them, to lift them up out of that. God is a God of mercy towards us. He loves us with an everlasting love. He has pity and compassion upon us as we're sunk down into the misery of our sins. And we are sunk into the filth and the muck and the mire of our sins without in ourselves any way of escape. God has mercy towards us. He has pity and compassion upon us. It's His will to lift us up out of that misery and deliver us. But God's mercy is not only His desire to lift us up, His pity and compassion upon us, it's also the power by which He actually does lift us up. I might have mercy upon another person. I might have pity or compassion upon them in their suffering, but be actually powerless to lift them up out of that suffering. Not so with God. God not only desires to lift us up out of the misery of sin, but He actually does so. His mercy is His sovereign power to deliver us from the misery of our sins. This explains His forgiveness of us. This alone explains His forgiveness of us. Our being forgiven is grounded in God's mercy towards us, and our being forgiven is the expression of God's great mercy to undeserving sinners. Once again, the Word of God exhausts the human language to describe how great and wonderful is God's mercy toward us. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. We're told that light travels at the remarkable speed of 186,000 miles per second. 186,000 miles per second. And yet the light from the sun, closest star to Earth, still takes over 8 minutes to travel to the Earth. That's the closest of the heavenly bodies to us. And there are stars that we're told are way, way beyond that, whose light perhaps takes years and years to travel to the earth. We know that the universe cannot be infinite, and yet from our earthly perspective, it's as if it's infinite. It goes on and on beyond what our minds can even imagine. But that's nothing compared to the mercy of God. As high as the heavens above are from the earth here below, and that boggles our minds, the mercy of God is greater, higher than the heights of heaven, is the mercy of God to us. how immeasurable, inexhaustible, incomprehensible, boundless is God's mercy and compassion towards us. It's limited in the sense that it's only for his elect, but towards his elect, that mercy of God is infinite. It's boundless. It's way beyond what our minds can fully comprehend. He removes our sins from us as far as east is from west. And that because his mercy towards us is greater than the heavens are above the earth. These are the supposed dimensions of God's forgiveness, on and on from east to west, and on as high as the heavens are above the earth. How great is God's mercy to us? That boundless, immeasurable mercy is revealed in the cross of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the guilt of my sins and your sins, all of the sins of his people. Though not having committed any sin of his own, he stood guilty before his heavenly Father with the guilt of our sins. And bearing our guilt, he endured the punishment that we deserved. He experienced the wrath of God being poured out upon him, the torments and the agonies of hell and the curse of God at the cross. Paid fully for our sins. He obeyed perfectly the will of his heavenly Father. He lived in all righteousness. It's for Christ's sake that we are forgiven. The cross of Jesus Christ is the revelation of God's mercy to us undeserving sinners. The guilt of my sins imputed to Christ's account, and Christ's perfect obedience and righteousness counted as my own, so that with perfect justice, God declares to us that our sins are forgiven. The cross of Jesus Christ reveals both the perfect justice and the boundless mercy of God. The two of them kiss each other at the cross of Jesus Christ. In strict justice, God punished sin. And in mercy, he did not punish you and me. But Jesus Christ endured that on our behalf. This is what we celebrate this morning in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The boundless, immeasurable mercy of God to us, a mercy as high as the heavens are above the earth, as that mercy is revealed in our Savior Jesus Christ and his cross. What's our response to that? How can it be but praise? Psalm 103 is a call to praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We're so prone to forget God's many benefits to us, not remember them, or at least remember them with awe and wonder of what God has done for us. We need reminding of those benefits. And we're reminded of that Sunday after Sunday in the preaching of the gospel. We're reminded of that this morning in the Lord's Supper. We do this in remembrance of him. remembering what Christ has done for us, being assured of our belonging to him, we praise him. When we see an athlete perform some amazing feat of athletics, perhaps on the soccer field or in the volleyball court, we praise, we clap, we applaud. Consider what God has done for us. Far beyond what any man could do that we might applaud. He's shown mercy to us who do not deserve that mercy. He's removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He's displayed his infinite, immeasurable mercy that's higher than the heights of heaven. How great is his mercy? How great is his forgiveness of us? How great is our God? Bless the Lord. Worship and praise him who's shown such mercy to you. That's why we're assembled here this morning. We certainly receive benefit being in God's house. Our faith is built up and strengthened. But the greatest purpose of our being here is to praise the God of mercy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. Apply that to our hearts by thy Holy Spirit. Comfort us in the knowledge of our forgiveness. Bless our partaking now of the Holy Sacrament. Confirm and strengthen our faith thereby. Forgive us of our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.